Are we on now? Returning, if you would, to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. I'd like to thank Will for leading the songs that he did, and for Craig for reading Revelation 4 and 5. I think you'll see how both the songs and the words that we have read will go along with the lesson tonight. And I'd also like to thank you for being here. You're such a great encouragement to me to see people who find that worshiping God is important. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, is worshiping God. In Revelation chapter 19, John sees a vision here, and it's a lot like, or at least there's some similarities to what we read in chapter 4 and chapter 5. And we see the 24 elders, and we see the four living creatures, and several of the same characters here in chapter 19. But John hears a voice, and he falls at the feet of this person who was speaking. And in verse 10 of Revelation chapter 19, it says, "And I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, 'See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.'" In 2011, there were over 92,000 people who went to the Spring A Day game at Alabama. And I'm sure that there was a lot of preparation that went into some of those people's visit there. Probably some of them spent hours to get to the ball field, and obviously hours to get back home. They spent 3 hours probably on some hard seats to watch a team practice against itself. What does that have to do with worshiping God? Well, really, the point of my lesson is that I have spent way too much time preparing myself to do things that are really no consequence at all, and very little time in preparing myself to worship God. And so, this lesson is for me, to help me to prepare to worship God more acceptably. So, what is worship? Webster says that worship is reverence offered a divine being or a supernatural power, also an act of expressing such reverence. And we use a lot of other terms or words when we talk about what worship really is. And I don't really want to talk about what the different acts of worship are tonight or to try to define what those are. But again, the point of the lesson is, I want to prepare myself to worship God more acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And I hope that you'll get the same out of the lesson also. So what are the worship services? They are an opportunity to be in the presence of God. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I will be in the midst of them." What an opportunity we have to be in the presence of Jesus. And in Psalms chapter 122 and in verse 1, David said, "I was glad when they said, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" And shouldn't that be our mindset too? Shouldn't we be excited when the opportunity to come to worship God comes about? Worship service is something that we just ought not to miss. Yes. It is commanded not to miss. But yes, it is an awesome opportunity that we have to be in God's presence. An opportunity that we don't deserve, to be in God's presence and offer praise to Him. It is the opportunity to be in the presence of the Almighty, the Creator. Why would anyone miss that opportunity? Sometimes when we talk about being prepared to worship God, we try to make an analogy of, what would I do if I had the audience of the president? If I were going to go see him, how would I prepare? How would I dress? What would I talk about? But isn't that missing the point just terribly? The president is a man of great power, but he is a man. And to try to compare him to being in the presence of God, it just fails miserably. There's no comparison of this great opportunity we have to be in the presence of God. When I worship God, I must give him reverence and honor and respect and focus, which is a problem for me. I need to give him the very best of all those attributes, knowing that even with my very best, I'm not giving him what he deserves. Worship to me is trying to replace all those thoughts that I have of everyday life, of going to work, of trying to gain material possessions, and replacing those thoughts with honor to God. Worship to me is truly trying to show who I really love and who I really adore. And God knows whether I live up to that or not. What kind of people does God want to worship him? Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. You'll remember that on this occasion, Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. And she said in verse 20, our fathers worshiped here on this mountain, but you Jews say we ought to worship in Jerusalem. But Jesus says in verse 23, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. If the Father is seeking something, I ought to know what it is. He wants me to be a true worshiper, and to do that, I have to worship him in spirit and in truth. My mind, my focus, my thoughts need to be there. And I need to worship him the way that he's laid out for me to worship him. In Colossians chapter 3, in the first three verses, it talks about how that we ought to set our minds on things above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Quit thinking about the things that are going on the earth. If all that I'm thinking about while I'm here trying to worship God is what I'm going to be doing after services, where I'm going to go eat later, what I'm going to do at work tomorrow, what kind of worship is that? God's not going to accept that. He deserves much better from me. In Romans chapter 12 and in verse 1, it talks about how that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable to God. And also in Mark chapter 12 and in verse 20, it talks about how that we ought to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, and with all of our mind. Now, when I combine those two verses in Romans 12 and in Mark 12, what part of my being, what part of my possessions, what part of anything that deals with me does that leave out that I can withhold from sacrificing to God? Well, obviously, there's nothing that I can hold back. I need to be willing to give all to God. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 5, and we'll read verses 37 through 42. John chapter 5, and read verses 37 through 42. Jesus is speaking, and he says, and the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me, that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, But I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. Jesus says that we have to come to Him to have life. Seems like so often I want Him to come to me. I want Him to meet me on my terms. But that's not what Jesus says. I've got to come to Him, meet Him on His terms. How close am I willing to come to Jesus? Am I willing to give up all my wants, all my desires, give up my will to be in obedience to His wants, His desire, His will? If not, then I'm no better than these people here that Jesus is talking to, and I don't love the Father either. Sometimes we sing a song that says, Jesus is all the world to me. And sometimes we sing a song about a mansion over the hilltop, and it says, and we'll sing, I want a gold one that's silver lined. How do these two things go together? They just don't seem to go together to me. One of them is very spiritual. Jesus is all the world to me, and He should be, and He better be while I'm worshiping Him. But the other seems so earthly, like we normally do, trying to accumulate something here. And maybe we're just thinking that heaven is another place to accumulate things. Do I really love Jesus? Or is He just a means to an end? Worship is not about me. I'm just a creation, part of God's creation, just like all of us are. In Revelation 19, verse 10, that's the verse that we started off with, where that heavenly being would not accept worship from John. In Acts chapter 14, in verses 8 through 15, we read the story there of Paul and Barnabas as they were in Lystra, and they healed the man there who had been lame since he was born. And the people there got so excited about this, and rightfully so, that they were excited, but they went the wrong way with it. And they started worshiping Paul and Barnabas, and they wanted to make sacrifice to them, and they called them Zeus and Hermes, but Paul and Barnabas would have nothing to do with that. We're men. We're just men. This morning in our auditorium class, we were talking about Peter going to Cornelius' house. And when Peter got there, Cornelius stooped down to worship Peter, and Peter said, I'm just a man just like you are. I'm not the one to be worshipped. God is the one to be worshipped. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, and we'll read verses 4 and 5. Proverbs chapter 16 and verses 4 and 5. The Lord has made all for Himself. Yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. I shouldn't be so proud as to think that the worship services are about me. I shouldn't be so proud as to think that worship services should be what I want them to be. The worship services are about what God wants them to be. I've heard it said before, and I think it's right, that the services are not about feeling close to family and friends. It is not about feeling like I'm some great guy for coming to church services and patting myself on the back. Worship services are for worship, and God is the one who is to be worshipped. How easy would it be for me to come to church services? And how terrible would it be for me to come to church services and be an abomination to God because I made the services about myself instead of making it about Him? Because worship is about God. He is our Creator. Again, we're just the creation. He is our Creator. And we've talked about in several verses already how He was the one who created everything that exists by His will. And we're the ones who're supposed to be offering up praise to God. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, we read that also. But also in Romans, in Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5 that Craig read for us tonight, we get a lot. We have one of the best examples, I think, in the Bible about how worship ought to be to God. We see the 24 elders there. We see the four living beasts. And we see the angels offering up this praise. And they're giving praise to God, and they're using all these different words of, all these different terms of praise about God. Holy, holy, holy. He is Lord. He is God. He is Almighty. Glory, honor, and thanks are attributed to Him. The 24 elders cast their crowns before His throne. You are worthy, they say, for glory and honor. Like that song that we sang earlier about the battle belongs to the Lord. Chorus there talking about offering up those things to God. My vocabulary is very limited. But even if it wasn't limited, if it was an unlimited vocabulary, I could never, ever give God the praise that He deserves. It just makes you want to, it makes you long for that day when we'll be with Him in heaven and we'll see Him as He is. And we'll see what a great gift has been given to us. Hopefully, we can get Him better praise then. While was God praised? It says that He was and He is and He is to come. He's eternal. He has no beginning. He has no end. It's a concept that's beyond me. He created all things, as we've already talked about, and they exist by His will. And they, includes me and you, we exist by His will. And when it's no longer His will for me or you to exist on this earth, we won't exist. He is the one that is in control. He is the one to be worshipped. Praise is given to Jesus in Revelation chapter 5. And several things are said there. He's worthy to take the scroll and to open it up, to open the seals. But nobody else was able to do that. He's worthy to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Blessing, honor, glory, and power are attributed to Him. Again, I have no way of worshiping God the way He deserves or worshiping Jesus the way that He deserves. And I cannot even picture in my mind how glorious He is. Don't you look forward to that day? Why was He praised so? He was slain and redeemed us to God by His blood. He left heaven. He came here. He was tormented by man to redeem man. He was tormented by man to redeem me, to redeem you. He deserves much more than our praise. He has made us kings and priests to God. He has made us to sit in places we do not belong and can never belong, if were it not for His sacrifice. So, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is teaching His disciples how to pray. And part of that was, He said, to pray for the Father's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. but the Father's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you think, maybe, that it is the Father's will that we worship Him with the same passion and respect and humility that those 24 elders and those four creatures and those angels do in heaven? I think maybe so. I think maybe so. Those elders had these golden crowns. What they're supposed to represent, I'm not really sure. But obviously here on earth, golden crowns would be something to be precious to us. Very precious. Something to hold on to. But to these 24 elders, they just cast them before the throne of God. Those crowns didn't mean anything to them compared to being in God's presence. Is there anything, is there anything in my life that is more dear to me or more precious to me than being in God's presence? I need to remove it. Even though the worship service isn't about us, we benefit greatly from it. Here are just a few of the things that I came up with, and I'm sure that you can come up with a lot more than what I've come up with. We realize who really is in control, and we've talked about that several times already. God created us. We exist by His power. And when He wants to get rid of us from living on this life, He will. We're not in control. God is. It ought to humble us to be in the presence of the Almighty God. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, and we'll read the first 5 verses there. Isaiah chapter 6, first 5 verses. I'm sure this is a passage that is familiar to most of us. And Isaiah sees this vision, and he says, beginning in verse 1, "And the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 He covered His face, with 2 He covered His feet, and with 2 He flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door was shaken by the voice of Him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Isaiah must have been running the whole gamut of emotions here as he sees this vision. What an awesome thing to be in the presence of God and to see Him glorified as He was here on this occasion. But then how humbling to think about, I am a man of unclean lips. I am a sinful man. Here I am. I'm so sinful and God is so holy. I don't belong to be in that same presence. I am so far removed from needing to be here or deserving to be here. Isn't that the same gamut of emotions that we should have when we're in worship to God in His presence, and the awesome time that it is to be in God's presence, but to realize I am a sinful man and I don't belong in His presence. Finally, worship is why we were made. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. Worship is what completes us. It's what makes us whole. It's all of our being. It is all of our responsibility while here on earth. And without doing worship to God, without worshiping Him acceptably, we're nothing. We're not fulfilling our purpose at all. Worship service is not to be missed. Yes, because it's commanded, but also because who would want to miss this an awesome occasion? And God wants us to lift up our minds to a higher plane, to get our minds off of the mundane, everyday life here on earth, and to make it think about things that are much higher, much nobler, where God is, where Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. And don't we benefit so much from even thinking about things like that? Turn with me, if you would, to Psalms chapter 96. Psalms chapter 96. And I'll read verses 7 through 9. I told Paula I just couldn't come up with the words I wanted to say for this lesson. But I think that these verses here kind of sum up what I've been trying to get across. Psalm 96, verses 7 through 9. Give to the Lord, O families of the people. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. If you've never become a Christian, you are missing out on the greatest opportunity you will have in this life and in the life to come, and that is to worship God. And if you've fallen away from God, you know a little bit about what you're missing and what you need to come back to so that you can worship God acceptably again and be in His presence. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, won't you come while we stand and sing?